Papanello singing his song. All the little birds on Jay Bird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Depth. Okay, I'm not even going to lie. This might be one of my favorite interviews of the season. Sam Behrens is here. He's the orchardist at Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center, and he came bearing gifts that you can eat.
I brought apples.
Yes, I'm so excited. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's been a good season in the orchard.
Has it? Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about the wonderful orchard because you're a farmer at heart,
yeah.
But to be an apple farmer is kind of a different kind of farming, right?
A little bit, yeah. So the apples are a little bit finicky to grow. They have a lot of needs. They have a lot of things that like to eat them. So pests and things like that, whether we're talking, you know, deer and squirrels, pests, even things like bacterial pests in the case of things like fire blight.
What's that?
It's a bacterial infection that apple trees can get.
And where do they get it from? It
spreads mostly in the spring through apple blossoms, actually through the pollinators pollinating the flowers.
Oh, okay. But we need our pollinators,
of course. But we need
them,
so it's a risk that comes with growing apples.
Do they carry something on their little beaks or their
It's just a bacterial infection. Like, it's, you know, think of it like sanitizing your hands, so you can move bacteria, you know, through contact. So same
okay.
type of deal, but with insects instead of people.
So your apple trees are all different ages, I would assume.
Yeah, the orchard at Carpenter Nature Center, which is a nonprofit just north of Hastings, in its current state started in 1988. Before that, it was Carpenter's Orchard, which was ran by Tom and Edna Carpenter, the namesake of Carpenter Nature Center, from the early 1940s through the 1970s. Then when it became a nature center in the 80s, they used the original trees for a few years and then decided that they wanted to condense the orchard down to the smaller size that it is today. It occupies about 6 acres of land, the trees do, instead of the probably 20 or 30 plus acres it did before, which has now been restored to native habitat.
Did the Carpenters raise as many different kinds of apples as you do?
You know, that's a great question. They raised a lot of unique ones. I was told that one of Tom Carpenter's favorite varieties was allegedly a russet variety, either golden russet or Roxbury russet, which is an antique variety, kind of a neat one. As far as how many varieties they have, though, I think that may have been somewhat lost to time.
Some of these, though, are the same kind that the Carpenters did grow.
Yep. So we have a mix of older varieties and newer varieties in the orchard in its current state. We have about 2,000 trees in the orchard, and we have about 20 varieties. Some of them we have a lot. Others we have just a few, and there's a couple we only have one tree of them, just kind of for interest.
Some of these apple trees have been around then since the 80s?
Yep.
Do they ever stop producing apples?
Apple trees can produce for a long, long time, but the health of the tree can decline over time, just like any sort of, you know, landscape tree, forest tree, or things like that. They do have a lifespan to them. Peak productivity for apple trees is a little bit dependent on their rootstock. So all apple trees, the roots come from a completely different plant than the tops of the trees.
Oh, Lord, I forgot about this. Okay, tell me about this again.
So if you were to plant an apple tree from seed, first of all, you wouldn't know what variety it is. It would be the offspring of the parents, the tree that it came from and the tree that pollinated it. You would have some random variety. It wouldn't be named. It would be genetically unique.
Okay, so let's go back. So if I took an apple seed from an apple and I put it in, like, let's say a Dixie cup with dirt, wouldn't it sprout and everything?
It would sprout. It would grow into an apple tree, and it would almost certainly produce apples. The apples that it produced, however, would not be true to the variety of the apple that it came from.
Because
that would be the parent, and then this would be the child, if you will.
So you had told me that trees know how to pollinate each other or something. How does this work?
So the apple trees blossom in the spring, usually
in
May, sometimes in April. They are pollinated by pollinators, which are all kinds of different insects, primarily bees, but there are other pollinating insects as well. We do keep honeybees on site to aid in our pollination as well. And different kinds of apple trees need other different kinds of apple trees to pollinate them, so that way the seeds can get fertilized and the fruit will form. And then once the pollination happens, the seeds form, the fruit forms around it, and that becomes the apple. So you have genetically distinct apples, so like for a Honeycrisp apple, which is our state fruit, it's also the first one we're going to be trying here. We actually don't start them from seed, so a nursery person would take a piece of the apple tree that they're trying to propagate, say a Honeycrisp tree, they'll cut a branch off, a small twig, and they'll propagate it onto another part of a tree called a rootstock. Rootstocks have different characteristics, the main one being the size of the tree. So a standard apple tree might be 30 feet tall, which is really difficult to pick the apples from.
Oh, sure. I never thought of that.
Yep.
Right.
So the primary reason that apple trees are grafted onto rootstocks is to reduce their size. We have dwarfing rootstocks and then semi-dwarfing rootstocks in our orchard.
So when you say rootstocks, is mm-hmm. that a tree in itself?
Yep. It's a whole separate tree.
But it's not an apple tree.
It is an apple tree. It's not an apple tree. That's a variety you would want to eat, however.
Oh.
They will produce apples, but the apples would be bitter and not taste good at all.
Okay. So you somehow breed them or something.
What do you do? Well, we just buy the trees and put them in the orchard.
Wow. You have Honeycrisp, I know.
Honeycrisp is a really neat fruit. It came out in 1991 from the University of Minnesota. It's possibly their biggest commercial success, arguably. It's the Minnesota state fruit, which is pretty neat. It was described when it came out as being explosively crisp, which is known for being very crisp and very juicy, having an excellent balanced flavor between sweet and tart. And it's also a really good keeper, so it stores well. And Honeycrisps, grown right here in Minnesota, the state that they were developed in, I may be a little bit biased, but I think they taste by far the best.
Oh, because you love what kind of apples?
I love all apples. I do have my favorites, but Honeycrisp is a great one.
Okay, well, let's dig in.
Do you want to try a slice of Honeycrisp here?
And what am I going to be tasting for?
So the Honeycrisp, you're going to notice that explosively crisp texture.
Okay.
And
thank you. Are we going to chew together?
Sure, yeah. It'll be nice and juicy.
Mm.
With a nice balanced flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yum. What do we use Honeycrisp for besides just eating?
So Honeycrisp is best as a fresh eating apple. It can be processed into other things, but because of its juiciness, it poses a little bit of a challenge when processing it into baked goods and things like that.
Oh.
It'll make things like pies and apple crisps a little bit runny. I've heard of people adding a little bit of cornstarch to their recipes to thicken it up a little bit to mitigate that, so that way they can get that Honeycrisp flavor into their baked goods.
That is a wonderful apple.
Yeah, it's pretty excellent.
And is that in season, obviously, right now?
Yeah, so we're right about in the middle of Honeycrisp season. We've been picking on it for about 2 weeks now, and we should have it into mid-October.
But you say they're good keepers. That one is cold. Do they like to be refrigerated?
Yep. All apples keep best refrigerated.
Okay.
Most apples like it about 34 degrees and 80% humidity is almost ideal for their keeping, with a few exceptions.
Okay. Well, that was wonderful. So that's in season right now. Isn't like First Kiss, that one comes out first?
Yeah. So First Kiss, it's a relatively new apple from the University of Minnesota. It came out in 2016, I believe.
And what do we know about that one? What does that taste like?
So First Kiss, it's another Honeycrisp cross. It's a very early apple, and it's a little bit more on the tart side, very similar in texture and juiciness to the Honeycrisp.
Okay.
So if you like Honeycrisp and want an apple a little bit earlier, First Kiss is definitely the way to go.
There you go. All right. What's the next apple we're going to talk about?
So the next apple is almost the opposite of the Honeycrisp. Honeycrisp, relatively new, very explosively crisp and juicy. We're going to go way back in time to 1811.
What? Okay.
And way up in Ontario, a guy by the name of John McIntosh, who is a farmer in Ontario, discovered the McIntosh apple. So it was a wild seedling, from what I understand, that he found, and then they started to propagate it. So McIntosh, it's known worldwide, has been around a long, long time, and is still a great apple. They're best eaten fresh. They're not as good of a keeper as most modern varieties.
Okay.
They will keep for a long time, but the flavor starts to drop off and they'll start to get soft. If you get them fresh off the tree within a week or so, they're still a nice, relatively crisp apple with a really unique, excellent flavor that I think we're going to hopefully enjoy here in just a moment.
Okay, well, I'm going to see if I can taste what you're tasting.
Okay.
Because you are the expert.
All right.
Thank you. Yeah. All right, this is a McIntosh. And this has been around since the 1800s.
1811.
Wow. I like it. It almost tastes like a pear.
Yeah, it's a really, really excellent, kind of unique flavor, mostly sweet with just a little bit of tart. A lot of people like it for baking because of that unique flavor, and they'll mix it with other varieties to get that flavor in. One of the most popular combinations that people come in looking for in our apple shack is McIntosh mixed with Harrelson.
Oh, okay, so for baking like
for baking pies and crisps and things like that.
Okay.
The Harrelson will hold up its shape and it's a more tart apple, whereas the McIntosh will bake down a little bit, but it has that really excellent flavor.
It really does. It's very unique.
Yeah,
absolutely. So that's in season right now as well.
Yep, so we're still picking them. We're getting close to having them picked out, but we should have them for at least a few more weeks in the apple
and
shack.
And when you pick at the Carpenter St. Clair Valley Nature Center, you then run them through some crazy machine.
Yeah. So apples, when they're all ready to go at the Nature Center, they're picked almost exclusively by volunteers, which is a really neat thing about our nonprofit. Mm-hmm. We have a great group of volunteers that help us out in the orchard. So almost every apple is picked by them. And they pick them into crates, bushel-sized crates, which is 40 pounds of apples. They bring them in. Then they go through brushes to polish them all up. Then they go through a machine that sizes them. And then each and every apple is individually graded by our staff and sometimes volunteers as well as for quality. And then it gets packaged according to quality.
Okay, wow, love it. We have how many apple varieties that are ripe right now?
I think we have 6 or 7 in the store. We're just getting into Cortland is our most recent one. We started picking 2 days ago now.
Okay.
So another older variety.
Okay. And last year, what was the weather like? Because isn't last year's weather kind of how this year's apples will be or something?
Not as much.
Okay.
Yeah. So the growing season for this year's apples runs primarily through April through the time that they're picked.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what can happen along the way that can affect how our apples go?
Sure. Well, lots of different things. This year was a really good growing season. And what a really good growing season is for apples, we have nice warm days, plenty of frequent rainfall, which we did all throughout the summer, spring, summer, and even into the fall here. We've had plenty of good rain. And hopefully you don't get any negative weather events, especially hail and big wind. We did have one hail event that came through in August. So especially our early season apples, we took a little bit of a loss on them from hail hitting the apples. But our later season apples were mostly small enough and hard enough where most of them are pulling through just fine.
And so does the weather affect when they're going to be ripe? Can that have a swing of a couple weeks, year to year?
To an extent, yes. So the way an apple ripens or the amount of time it takes is dependent upon how much heat it accumulates throughout the growing season. So if you have a whole bunch of cool days, it's going to take longer to grow than if you have a shorter amount of hot days.
Oh, okay.
And in agronomy and in farming, that would be called growing degree days.
Growing degree days. Okay.
Yeah. So.
But we had a really nice amount of those this year.
We did. It was a pretty ideal season. They're coming right about exactly where we want them to. And yeah, other than the little bit of hail we got, I really have hardly anything to complain about as far as growing the apples is concerned.
Oh, that's awesome. So. When you are planning ahead for next year's season, don't you prune them back or trim them or...
Yep. So in the off season, at the end of February, start of March, we'll start pruning. So we prune the apple trees in what we call late season dormancy. We want to wait till most of the bitter cold part of the winter is past. And then we start pruning the trees for shape and then to keep them thin, to thin out the branches. And we do that because we want to have good sunlight penetrating down into the canopy. If apples don't get light on them, they don't turn as red. And then we want to get good airflow through the canopy of the tree as well. That causes the leaves to dry out faster as well as the fruits. If leaves are wet for longer period of time, it increases the risk of having fungal infections, things like apple scab and cedar apple rust, which we would prefer not to have on our apples.
Did you have any of that this year?
Well, we always have a little bit. So managing it is a big, big part of my job throughout the summer.
Oh, goodness.
And it starts with pruning.
Well, what's next, please? I'm learning about apples and I love it.
So the next apple we have here, it's an early season apple. We still have quite a lot of them in our Apple Shack store.
Okay.
We had a bumper crop of them this year.
You did.
They're still really good this time of year. We'll have another couple good weeks of fresh eating out of them. And currently, because we have so many, we have them on buy one, get one free in the Apple Shack, which is a really great deal if you like them.
And what is this?
This is called a Zestar.
Ooh, I like Zestar. Mmm. It's zesty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What am I tasting?
So Zestar, it's considered to be a sweet to tart apple, and it has hints of brown sugar flavor.
Okay, that is it. Yep.
So yeah, really excellent apple. Came out in 1996. It was developed by the University of Minnesota. It's our main early season crop.
Very
apple.
Good.
Yeah, it's a
fantastic
one.
Just when
one.
I think my favorite apple, and then you have another one, and they're also good.
Yeah, I don't think I really grow too many bad apples.
No, you don't grow any bad apples. But man, different tastes to each of them.
Absolutely. And something we do at the Carpenter Nature Center Apple Shack almost every day, we do offer samples of apples so people can try what's in season to see what they like,
mm-hmm.
which is something that I really enjoy doing and talking to people about them and giving people the opportunity to do that, to see just how different apples are. So a lot of people have the perception that a red apple is a red apple and a green apple is a green apple, and that's about it. But there's so many different varieties with so many flavors. And
there are. So do you think that your apples taste the same as other apples in a different orchard? Do you know what I mean?
Sure. apples do vary, especially regionally, where they're grown. And a notable one to talk about that is going back to Honeycrisp, the first one we sampled. Honeycrisp is a very, very popular apple. It's grown all around the world, and it varies in flavor. So a Honeycrisp that you get that's grown in here in Minnesota where it was developed is most likely going to taste pretty good because it was developed to grow in this climate and under these growing conditions. Whereas if you buy one that's grown, say, in Washington State or down in Chile or another apple-growing region in the world, it might not taste quite the same. So that's something to keep in mind when you're buying apples, especially apples that were produced by the University of Minnesota or other breeders here in Minnesota. The ones that were produced in Minnesota are probably going to be most true to variety and, in my opinion, best.
So it looks like you have a couple more. What else did you bring, please?
Yep. I brought two more apples. The next one was a 1977 release by the University of Minnesota.
It's an oldie but goodie.
Yeah, it's called a Sweet 16.
Oh, okay. I don't know that I know what this tastes like. I can't remember year to year. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not nearly as common of a variety. What are we getting for flavors? What do we think?
It seems denser.
It is a little bit more dense, which is typical of an older variety of apple.
Okay.
Okay. So it has a pretty complex flavor.
It tastes like licorice or something.
Yeah. So the way it's described is tasting a little bit like cherry candy, vanilla, and sugar cane.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Yeah. So it has a really different complex flavor that...
Totally, but it's so yummy.
Yeah. A lot of people love, they come in asking for it. I have people calling, asking when we're going to start picking it every year, which is kind of fun. So it's one that we have a moderate amount, and we'd love to get more people to try it and get them hooked on it.
Okay. So. Well, I like that one too.
It's a good one.
Yes.
And then we have one final apple here.
Okay.
Our final apple, it's the second newest apple that the University of Minnesota has developed.
Oh.
It came out in 2021, so not a lot of people have probably had this
one. It's a new one.
Yeah, there's only one newer. The very newest one, which we don't have yet, is called Kudos. This apple is called Triumph.
Triumph, okay. Love it. All right, let's try this one. Mmm. Juicy.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so Triumph is a Honeycrisp crossed with a Liberty. A Liberty is a little bit of an older variety.
Okay.
It's supposed to have a slightly tropical flavor and a little bit on the tart side.
It is a little bit more tart, yes.
Yeah. It's a really neat variety because it is considered to be the triumph over apple scab. It's very, very resistant to the apple scab fungus, which makes it a really great variety for backyard apple growers to put into their yards or into their home orchards. Because to grow it, you'll have less apple scab to deal with, which means that you'll have to spray less fungicides and things like that to get good quality apples. So if you want a lower maintenance apple that's still a really great flavor, Triumph is an excellent new option
out
there.
And what'd you say it was, the Triumph over what?
Triumph over apple scab is what I was told.
Sam, what are the hours of the Apple Shack, please?
Yeah, so the Apple Shack at Carpenter Nature Center, which is at our Minnesota campus, is open from 9 o'clock until 5 o'clock every day up until Thanksgiving. The Nature Center does open a little bit earlier at 8 o'clock. So you can come in and hike the trails and then stop in for a nice little snack. Coming up here in the orchard on October 11th and 12th, which is a Saturday, Sunday, from 10 to 5, we do have our annual Apple Festival, which is our big, exciting 2 days in the orchard. It's the only time that we have pick-your-own apples in the orchard, in addition to our Raptor release, which was this past Saturday. We'll also have free hay rides and live music. The Lions Club will be out grilling their apple brats, as they have in past years. We'll have cider pressing demonstrations and all kinds of other fun activities as well.
Oh my gosh, not to be missed.
Absolutely.
Great to see you. Thank you for all you do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fun to come in and chat.
Sam Behrens, he's the orchardist at Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center, and apples are in season, so stop on over and grab some, and do take advantage of Apple Festival, which is going to be October 11th through the 12th at the Minnesota campus. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.